I assume news from outside sources is fake news. Yeah, you do assume that. I follow political influencers who reinforce the party's talking points. All their influencers just reinforce the party's talking points. I have talked about this so many times. I said, these people communicate in Trump talking points. They don't have an original thought. But I do want to say I'm thankful, because many people who I've been beating this dead horse with over and over and over again, maybe it's not fully dead yet, maybe that's extreme, have come to see the same thing. And I have friends now that will call me, friends I've met on this channel, who will call me and say, you know, somebody in my life I was talking to, and I wanted to talk to them about what's happening, like Genesis Mission, which is the government's conversion of your government into a massive AI superintelligence technology company. By the way, being run by a real estate salesman, just had to put that out there again. And they say, and we got into a conversation, and all they did was regurgitate talking points. And I'm very thankful to hear that they now recognize this, that you're not talking to a critical thinker when they just regurgitate familiar talking points, familiar words, and they use words like libtards and owning libs, and that they've got a whole vernacular for it. As soon as they start spitting that stuff out, they're not critically thinking. They're just going along with the party. You know, it's just like people who only know John 3:16. It is what it is. For God so loved the world. It's the only scripture they know. And you go, do you know any other scriptures? Nope. I only need to know that one. Okay. Who taught you that, first of all? And where does it say that in the Bible? And by the way, did you read the rest of John 3? Because you will be fascinated by what Jesus says after 3:16. I wish you would. Community and identity pressure. Most of my friends' community hold the same political views. Been down that road. Hated it. Oh, I am so blessed to be free from that. I just want to sit and ruminate on that for a minute. What a blessing. I was living in this echo chamber myself. It's slavery. Can't have an original thought. Oh, can't piss off the group, man. Don't you dare have a thought outside the group think. The group think defines us, remember? Y'all ever seen Animal Farm or read the book? It's a good one. Who recommended that the other day? Somebody on this channel said, y'all need to read Animal Farm. I think it may have been Jessica, but it is a great read. You learn all about groupthink in there, for sure. But anyways, you can learn about groupthink, of course, in the gospel also. I mean, you had an entire society of people who were under the fear of their cult, and we're absolutely terrified. If you haven't heard me testify about this before, when Jesus comes into the world, after John says, Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, and you know, he starts recruiting his team, he walks into a society of absolutely terrified people who are all under groupthink, all of whom can't have an original thought, or they're punished for it or stoned for it. That is the society Jesus walks into. That's why he says, I've come to set the captives free and to set at liberty all who are oppressed. And that is why when he said those words, everyone was like, oh my God. Do you know Harriet Tubman often had a difficult time convincing people to follow her on the Underground Railroad? They were scared, man. Oftentimes, she would leave with a group of people, and they'd have to leave some of their family members behind because they were just terrified of going. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? The Underground Railroad. Oh, I need to get back to this thought that I raised earlier, because I was like, I have to finish this thought up. Is that before, back in the old reality days, these people in this new red party, they welcomed dissent. I didn't get to finish this thought. I need to finish it. I'm going to go back and paste it in. Thing I love about linear recording technology. You could dissent, and they loved dissent, and they invited dissenters into their group. They even had this group started by this guy named Brandon. I forget his last name, but he started this group called Walk Away. You remember that? And they were welcoming, man, they were having parties. They were having walk away parties. I think it got to the point where they were like renting out arenas for Walk Away. And the Red Party was just loving the dissent, man. And it was exciting because I'm like, yeah, dissent, man, that's America. Silly me. I actually meant that. I didn't mean just dissent to get into this political party. I meant dissent against corruption and tyranny of all kinds, regardless of who's doing it. Whether it's Biden, Obama, George Bush Jr., Clinton, Trump, I don't care. Whoever's doing it, I'm going to dissent against. Why? Because I don't answer to them. I answer to my constitutional duty to defend my liberties, just like I did when I enlisted into the Army. I took an oath to defend the Constitution. I take that for life. I don't care who's in office. I don't care how much money the dude has. I don't care how pretty his wife is. I don't care how funny or witty or charming he is. I don't care how he trolls the other party. Like, none of that stuff ever mattered to me. I never cared about any of those aspects of him. He's so funny. I never looked at the guy like that. What I saw was a means to an end, or what I thought was a means to an end. That end being freedom and the restoration of sanity in this country. But sadly, neither end has been fulfilled. They've actually been canceled. They don't want dissent anymore. Dissent, not allowed. Critical thinking, not allowed. Intelligence, not allowed. Dissent, not allowed. We don't want dissenters. Dissenters are the enemies of this party. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. You go find a single group on Facebook from this party, and you go in there and you express a heavy criticism of Trump. Like, I think Genesis Mission is basically the framework for the beast system, and that Trump is in on it. And let's see how you do. Because let me tell you a truth that maybe you don't know, or maybe no one's ever told you. You should be able to state that belief in this free country, whether it's totally true or it's complete hogwash, without any fear whatsoever. And I'm here to tell you today, if you are fearful of expressing your point of view to any group of people, you aren't in a political party. You're on a plantation of slavery. You are a slave. And specifically, you are a slave to fear. And I'm here to tell you, if you are a Christian, the Lord is grieved, because it is his words that said, God Almighty, who is love, casts out fear. God is perfect love. So when you hear that beautiful scripture from John, where he says perfect love casts out fear, he's saying God Almighty casts out fear. And wherever there is the Lord, there is no fear of mankind. There is the love of God, and there is freedom. And that's my jam. And I will not ever again, ever, ever, ever be yoked or be in fellowship with people who intimidate me or try to intimidate me or try to coerce me into a climate of fear where I don't feel free to express myself openly with them. Because here's the thing, my friends. There's only one thing that makes you free. And it is the truth. There's no other way to freedom. So Anybody who's suppressing truth, whether it's your president, whether it's your political party, whether it's your little groupthink of political party Trumplicans, whatever they're calling themselves now, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your teacher, whether it's your mama, your papa, your sibling, your best friend, your boss, I don't care who it is, your pastor, anybody who's got you fearful to speak out is not good for you. Because people who are free invite truth. They welcome it. They rejoice with the truth. They don't care how bad it is. They don't care how ugly it is. They just want the truth. Give me the truth. Why? Because they know that freedom follows, because it's already set them free and they want more freedom. They know that the more truth they learn, the freer they're going to become. From what? Deceptions in their mind that are holding them hostage and preventing them from seeing God. Let's meditate on that one for a minute. Whew. They will see God. You ready for this one? Are you ready for a truth bomb with the power to just break every single bond to slavery? Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Scales off. How do you get pure in heart? What is the heart? What is the heart above all things? What does the scripture tell us is the nature of the heart? It's deceitful. It's filled with lies. About what? About everything. About who? About you. About me. About the world around us. About God. About Satan. About good. About evil. About truth. About fiction. About love. About hate. I mean, we just go on and on and on. It's a lie. It just lies endlessly. It's just filled with lies. It's filled with pretty little lies. It's filled with comforting lies. It's filled with ugly lies. It's filled with chain piling, linking lies. So how do you purify it? You allow the Holy Spirit to purge it of all the lies. How do you do that? First of all, you've got to get away from liars. But you also need to seek the truth. The truth, this is why I've said so many times that you've got to seek the truth. You've got to throw off the political chains and all the other biased chains that are on you and say to God, I want the truth, including about myself. I want all the truth. Why? Because every time he tells you another truth, he removes another lie. And the more truth you know, the purer your heart becomes. Your heart is purified by truth. What do you think the scripture means? Jesus prays in John 17, Father, sanctify them by the truth. What does he mean? Fill their heart with truth so they're no longer under the bondage of all the lies. So their hearts become pure, filled with truth. Why? So they can see God. How are you going to see God if your heart is impure and filled with deceit? You can't. That's why we keep saying these people can't see God. They can't because they're filled with lies and they don't want the truth. And if you try to tell them the truth, they freak out and they melt down on you. There's no way, and I mean absolutely no way, to freedom other than by the road of truth. And if you are determined to take any other road to freedom, you are not going to end up at freedom. You are going to end up on the plantation, right where Satan wants you. Oh, don't think I forgot who's at the bottom of all this, reaching up with his old claw hands. Do you see that trophy they gave him? This all tarnished. Oh man, it is some, this FIFA trophy. Did you see this? It's not all shiny, polished brass. It's all tarnished and like really grimy looking depiction of the earth. It looks like, well, it looks like tarnished gold is what it looks like. It looks like gold that has rusted out. Like that scripture in Matthew that says the treasures of this earth rust. It's all rusted looking, is it not? It's nasty and grimy. And then it's got these claw hands coming up and holding it. And I'm like, oh my God, they're not even hiding it anymore. All these worldly trophies, they ain't coming from God, man. By the way, I thought we were leaving the participation trophy culture. No? Now we got a new one? Okay. I follow political influencers who reinforce the party's talking points. Yeah, that's all they follow. That's why they'll log into one of these lives. They'll stay here for 3 seconds and go, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. He's not in the box. He's not in the box. He's not in the echo chamber. I don't hear any of the talking points, you know, because they're always listening. Not for truth. No. They're not listening for the truth. They're not listening for a truth bomb or something mind-blowing that changes their entire life. No. They're listening for the talking points. They're listening for something familiar. And when they come on here, they don't hear a single word of familiarity to them. It just sounds like some alien talking some foreign language. And their only real defense against it, their only real psychological defense against it is to say, traitor, libtard, psyop. How scary, man. Because again, it's not funny. Like I know a lot of people use their social media channels to poke fun at it. And I mean, yeah, you can turn it into a skit. I could write a side-splitting sketch for Saturday Night Live about it. But it's not funny. I don't think we should be laughing at it. I mean, I see a big difference between a little comic relief and actually poking fun at it to stir up comedy and to get people howling and laughing and saying, this guy's funny. No. That's called coarse joking, and we are not supposed to do that. That's not godly. But yet they do that coarse joking on both sides. In fact, you could say that both parties are just coarse jokers. All they do is coarse joke each other now. In fact, if you go on X, it's basically coarse joking central. That's all they do. They just cap on each other. Cap, 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 cap. It's just like it's a fight club. It's a fight club. I have a buddy whose favorite movie is Fight Club. And recently I gave him the analogy of using one of his favorite movies titles to say, you know, these political parties are fight clubs, that's all they are. But I also brought in family units to it too. And I said, you know, a lot of families are fight clubs. It's all they do is fight. All they do is fight. And then when you finally break free of them, they keep trying to drag you back into the fight club. Am I right? You ever seen Fight Club? When you think of Fight Club, highly intriguing and disturbing movie with so much biblical truth throughout the whole thing. So many stories, by the way, validate everything God has said about evil in the Bible. To me, when I see him, I don't go, ew, evil. No, I go, oh man, that's exactly what the Bible says people will do. I rejoice with the truth. I guess I'm a weirdo. I don't care how it comes out. I don't care whether it validates depictions of Satan and his schemes or whether it glorifies Jesus. The truth is the truth is the truth is the truth. I love the truth. Of course, Jesus being the highest, 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 ultra high truth of all of humanity, of all of the entire cosmos, the truth spectrum at the very top is Jesus. And it's pure, pure truth. And when we read about being conformed into the image of Christ, what we're reading about is God's desire that we would be conformed into the purity of Christ. You know how the Bible says that he wants to find you blameless on the last day? He's talking about pure of heart, so you can see him. Jesus being the purest of heart. Jesus only having the power to illuminate our hearts with the word of God, sanctify us by the truth of God, and purify our hearts so we can see God, so we can follow him, so we can see our teachers, so we can discern good from evil, so we can walk in the light and not in the darkness. You can't do that if your heart is still dark and still impure. And you know, you look around at churches now, they're actually teaching people that purity doesn't matter to God. What are we talking about purity? We're talking about holiness. They say holiness doesn't matter. And yet the scripture says without holiness, no one will see God. Huh. So let me get this right. Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And Hebrews says, without holiness, no one will see God. Huh. That tells me that holiness is purity of the heart. And I happen to know it is. And the scriptures are perfectly congruent and perfectly in sync. And I'm here to tell you, if you're not willing to allow the Holy Spirit to purify your heart and get all that junk out of there and all those lies and all those deceptions, including the lies you tell about yourself, you may not see God. And take that up with God, because he's the one that says that. And yet we have a society of people who are absolutely determined to walk with impure hearts and stay impure and actually become more and more impure, which makes me think of the scripture, they go from bad to worse. That's why I say, not only are they not stopping to hear the truth, they're actually running faster and faster down the broad road. It is unbelievable. And back to the point, I don't know if I properly tied this up before, but it brings me back to it again, is that I'm just now stepping into this door of acceptance that this is the way of my world now. I just didn't know it was going to accelerate during my lifetime. I was under the impression somehow that it was going to happen later, that was a future event. I didn't know that I was going to live in that very future that Christ predicts when he says, due to the increase of wickedness, the hearts of most will wax cold, and that they will literally run to the slaughter. I didn't think that I was going to see that in my life. And so now I'm still coming into the realm of acceptance that I'm seeing it. It's here now, and I need to deal with it. Admittedly, I've just got through that door. So bear with me as I continue to go deeper into the realm of acceptance. But I am rejoicing with it. I'm not mad at it. I'm very happy the Lord has revealed. I mean, I am so grateful every day that the Lord has revealed the truth to me, because I know that my life was a living hell when I lived in the deception of lies for the very reason I have testified multiple times tonight, and that is it was slavery. I lived in the slavery of fear. I was going to offend somebody. I was going to upset somebody. Somebody's going to get mad at me. Somebody's going to, you know, scream at me. And by the way, I can't do stuff like that. I'm not good at screaming. Out of control rage. I don't do good with that at all. Like the time that won't stop. And, you know, that turns into violence. To live under that kind of fear of somebody is pure slavery. And I you know what I really want to say tonight? I really feel for people who are in that position, but you know, as people have said on this channel over and over, there's no excuse. You live in the age of information. It's time to level up, bro. Like, we can only be so sympathetic, us watchmen and watchwomen. You know, there comes a time when, as my wife always says, if nothing changes, nothing changes. It's time to get up. As Christ said to that man who said, I can't get down to the pool because people keep blocking me. I never got to finish that thought that night either. I just remember. See, the Lord, he always allows you to remember everything you want to remember. It's just amazing how God works. But I was talking about the man at the pool who Jesus said, get up and be made whole. He made an excuse. He said, I can't get down to the pool because people keep blocking me. Well, there's a lot of people blocking us from getting down to the pool. What is pool? It's the water. It's the water of the word that washes us clean. There's a lot of people blocking the way to the pool right now, but I'm here to tell you, if you just ask him for some help, he'll bring you down to the pool. 100% guarantee it. He will wash you so friggin' clean. You got to keep going back to him to stay clean, though, too, because this is one dirty world we live in, my friends. Community and identity pressure. We're almost at the end of this. Most of my friends' community hold the same political views. Oh, we talked about that one. I often feel fear, outrage, or dread when consuming my party's political content. Oh, my gosh. Wow. I believe the other side is not just wrong, but dangerous. Us versus then extremes. I struggle to have calm, nuanced conversations with people who disagree. Yeah, the days of nuanced conversations with people who are on political cults is completely over. But I do want to encourage you tonight and say, don't accept anything less than people you can have nuanced conversations with. Don't embrace people with these false dilemmas extremes that don't want to have nuanced and don't want to actually look into matters to see how complicated they are to get down to the bottom of them. Depart from those people. Embrace people who love having nuanced conversations and want to hear all your views, even if they're very disagreeable to them. They still want to hear them. I group all political opponents together as basically the same. Yeah, that's what they do. I think switching parties is unthinkable or morally wrong. Well, in some cases it is. When my party breaks rules, I justify it. Yep. When my leader breaks rules, I justify it. But I get angry when the other side does the same thing. It's called double standards. This is under the category of double standards. I believe the media is unfair to my side, but too easy on the other side. I accept behavior from my party that I would condemn from the other party. Yep. I see politics everywhere, in entertainment, family, religion, and daily life. Well, they are. My political beliefs influence who I date, befriend, or trust. Well, to some degree, your beliefs, your values, they do have to kind of dictate that. So there are some of these, again, that are nuanced. It's not all black and white absolutes. Sometimes you have to do that because you can't be equally yoked with somebody who doesn't share your views or, you know, bad company corrupts good morals, or so the good book says. Anyways, how'd you score? 0 to 20, you're an independent thinker. You're not controlled by party identity. You can evaluate issues case by case. Boy, we have moved out of the case by case realm, haven't we? 21 to 35, strong partisan. You lean heavily towards one side, but still maintain some independent judgment. And then finally, party dependent. Oh, there's two more. Party dependent. The party strongly shapes your worldview. You may be experiencing pressure, echo chambers, or identity fusion. And finally, political cult dynamics. If you scored 51 to 60, in other words, if you could say yes to every single one of those things, and these people can, you're in a psychologically dangerous territory. This level usually includes identity loss, fear-based loyalty, groupthink, emotional manipulation, inability to challenge the party. It doesn't mean something is wrong with you, though. It means the environment you're in is using cult-style tactics. And you, my friend, might be a victim of Stockholm Syndrome, what I call a Stockholmie. But I hope you would not stay a Stockholmie. I pray that you would be a Christ-homie. And you would think independently, and you would reason with God, and you would reason with people who love God, and you would exercise your reason, and you would rejoice with the truth no matter who brings it in. Because again, sometimes the truth rides in on the back of a jackass, and in fact, quite often it does. And if you don't believe me, then open up this Bible and start reading. There you have it, my friends. The top 10 signs you are in a political party cult. Whew. I will say that this is, to me, I find this deeply disturbing. If you were to ask me, Mark, what is your takeaway? I'd say this is very, very disturbing that this is what my country has become. and that this political party is in fact a cult. I mean, by every standard we've gone over tonight, it's a cult. It's not a political party. So then the question begs, the corollary for me is, where do we go from here? Where does society go from here? Because I think the other side is the same way for the most part. I think there's a small group of people in the middle. And I'm not saying they're lukewarm about the truth middle, because again, I've abandoned the idea that the red team is the righteous team and the blue team is the corrupt team. Okay, that worldview I've completely discarded. So I don't know about you. So when I used to use the term middle, I would think of that as a horrible thing. But again, I'm still seeing the world through a political lens, which again is a sign that you're in a cult. Just being clear. When somebody said moderate, I was like, cringe, fence sitter. Now when I hear moderate, I say sanity. Because I don't consider one side to be the righteous party of goodness and truth and the other party to be the evil party. I see goodness on each side to some degrees and various degrees. Some days, sometimes, at times. It's fleeting, but it happens. But I also see corruption on each side. And I see deep corruption on each side. And you know, that's what makes all of this so difficult, is because as much as the fault that I can find with a current party is without end. I'd write you a book on it tonight. I could work from right now to the early morning hours and write a 20,000 word book on why I believe this party is corrupt. And I could show you with receipts, hard evidence that it's corrupt. But at the same time, when somebody presents me with the alternative and says, the Democrats are the solution, I'm like, no, bro. No, they're not. That they're not much better. In fact, I could make an argument that in many ways they're worse. But one thing I tell you that I have stopped doing, and it wasn't one of the criteria on this list, but I have stopped looking through the lens of what I will call an evil spectrum. And that is that I'm no longer judging somebody's validity or value based on what level of evil they are. So there was a time when I had this, what I call lesser of two evils worldview, and I justified evil because I'd say, well, at least my guy's not as evil as your guy. And I didn't realize how insane that was in light of this. In the world, it makes sense. In the carnal world, that lesser of two evils things actually does make sense. Especially when you're viewing the world through basically that it's all evil. But when you start looking at the world through this lens, and this isn't a worldview, this is God's view. You know, they say that, do you have a Christian worldview? Oh, you already went wrong. No such thing. There's not a Christian worldview. There's a God view of the world, and there's various worldviews. And I'm here to tell you that lesser of two evils is a worldview where you're justifying evil based on the idea or the sliding scale, the relative sliding scale of ranking evil. And man, the more I realized this, I was like, oh my God, this is complete biblical insanity. That I'm ranking evil and I'm actually calling an evil man righteous because he's not as evil as another evil. Wait, what? I'm literally calling evil good. I had this epiphany. It blew my mind. Some of you, I think, were probably walking with me when I had it. And some of people, when I said it, woke up with me. They were like, dude, we like woke up together and we're like, what are we calling evil good for? How did we even get dragged down this rabbit hole where we're calling evil men good? Well, Satan is shrewd. That's all I can say, man. He exploits the weakest link. That's what he does. And if you leave him a little crack, he will infiltrate it. And political loyalty is more than just a crack. It is a gaping hole. Where? In your heart. And if you leave a gaping hole in your heart, I guarantee you Satan's going to come flying in there with his lies, and he is going to fill it and fill it and fill it until you can't see anything anymore. And it all starts because you start spreading your love around and equally yoking yourself and fellowshipping with evil and bad company. Bad company. Till the day I die. No. No, 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 no. No, 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 brethren. No bad company for you. Unless it's bad, meaning bad man, meaning the different form of bad that's like, you know, I'm a bad mamma jamma for God, and you should get out of my way. That type of bad. But if it's bad company, like we're bad people and we do bad stuff, you know, that's kind of chic in the USA. It's cool to be an outlaw, right? It's cool to break the law and all that other stuff. Not in the kingdom of God. That ain't cool at all. It's actually considered dissent from God. Make sure you know who you're dissenting from. Dissent from the world, dissent from corruption, dissent from tyrants, but don't dissent from God. Wow, what a journey. You know, what a journey of truth. And what a blessing to wake up from this oppressive lie of calling evil good. Listen, evil is what it is. You are finally free when you can look at anybody, starting with yourself, and say, that's evil. And God hates it. That's when you're walking on the road of freedom. And you're free to do that around anybody. Now you're walking on the road of freedom. That's the narrow road to the small gate. But until you're willing to start, well, we started with self-examination. I mean, you got to look in the mirror. The Lord says, before you can find the speck in your brother's eye, you got to pull the plank out of yours, man. I didn't do that for a long time. I lived in my own little pride bubble, in my own little political lens, and I thought I was on steady ground. Little did I know, I was on sinking ground. But you know, again, Satan's shrewd. He'll make you think you'll be standing in quicksand, and he will have you psychologically convinced that you're on solid ground. You ever had that happen? Where you think you're on solid ground and you think your life is just all solid, and then one day just boom, something happens and just the whole thing just falls apart, just complete collapse. And then you realize you were never on solid ground to begin with. Wow, that is some powerful revelation if you've been there. It's like, whoa, I thought I was on solid ground. I was literally on quicksand. I was sinking, and Satan is so shrewd that he had me deceived into thinking that I was on solid ground. And now I'm literally up to my eyeballs in quicksand. The devil is shrewd, man. He is deceitful. And a heart that is turned away from God is also very deceitful. My friend, seek truth. That's the closing word here tonight, is seek truth with all of your heart. Turn towards the Lord again and again and again every day. Go to bed at night and turn to the Lord. Wake up in the morning, turn towards the Lord. Keep turning to him. The Bible says that a man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall he live. I'm telling you, if you are not consuming that spiritual bread every day, it is going to be dark. It is going to be heavy. It is going to be an excruciating burden. You are going to be confused. You are going to live in a spirit of fear. You are going to surround yourself by people who are not good in the eyes of the Lord and are not good for you, they are going to corrupt you. You are going to become more corrupt. You are not going to go from bad to good. You are going to go from bad to worse. And I pray with all my heart you'd wake up, because, you know, there's no guarantee that you're going to get a second chance to get this right. You know, the Lord warns us about an outcome that, frankly, I find terrifying on many levels. And that he says that if you don't repent, you will die in your sins. They don't talk about that one a lot, do they? If you don't turn from your iniquity, your inward, twisted, warped, deceitful ways, if you don't turn from your iniquity, you will die in your sins. What does that mean? My wife is ringing the dinner bell, and that is my cue to log off. We're eating a late dinner tonight, and I just feel like I ate a massive, massive spiritual meal, and I hope you did too. And I hope my intentions are clear to you, that I want people to be free. I want them to be pure. I want them to walk with their Lord God in heaven. I want them to see God, and I want them to be with God for all eternity. And I know for certain we cannot serve two masters, my friends. We cannot serve two masters. God bless you. This one is definitely going up on the podcast. I'm probably going to break this one into two parts also. I hope that you send your friends to it. I really do, because I think the Lord spoke some incredibly powerful truths through this vessel tonight. God bless you in truth. May you be sanctified on high in the truth. Woo!